Today is usually the day we turn the page to the next week, the next game. That is Jacksonville, to talk about all of that. On the line is Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker. Insider Calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious. Ross joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Hey, buddy.
Nick, what's up, man? How are you?
Good. Are you in the restroom?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so
you know
I heard.
What's so funny? I made a very bad mistake. I'm in the airport. I'm flying down to Miami for the game tomorrow night. I'm in the booth for Bills and Dolphins. And you know when you're in the airport and, like, every 5 minutes they are announcing, like, flight 428, blah, 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 boarding group 2? I thought that the bathroom might be quieter, but these might be the loudest flushing noises I've ever heard in my entire life. I mean, it sounds like they're flushing a boat to China. I mean, I've never heard louder flushes in my whole life.
Well, I just didn't know, because I know you're super efficient. I didn't know if you were just like, all right, use the facilities, then hop on with Nick, but the lag time was like 5 seconds.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've done that before, but that wasn't even the thought process for this. See, right now, it's nice and quiet. It's good. It's just, you never know when one of these guys in the bathroom here is gonna flush. It sounds like Niagara Falls. It's unbelievable.
Let us pray that's the only bathroom sound we hear for the next 10 minutes. Ross, panic level 1 to 10 for the Cleveland Browns. Where should they be at right now after a disastrous week 1 performance against Dallas?
I would say 8.5. I would say pretty high. I mean, it's a home game against a team that had a bunch of rookies playing, a bunch of question marks, quite frankly, at center, at left tackle, and the fact that they got that handled on both sides of the ball is extremely discouraging. You know, anything can happen in week 1, and so you try not to take it, you try not to put that much into it, right? I mean, there's plenty of teams that go 15-1 or whatever over time, and you try not to put that much into week 1, but I'm telling you, man, I think the biggest thing is the Watson thing, though, right? I mean, I think the defense will still be good. It'd be weird if they're not good, right? I mean, they've got pretty much everybody back from last year's defense. That was awesome. So, all right, maybe the Cowboys had a better game plan one time. Maybe the Cowboys did a better job and they weren't able to really do very much. That's fine. You know, you can live with that. I don't think you can live with Deshaun Watson playing poorly and people already calling for Jameis Winston. I mean, the clock is very, very much ticking for him in terms of anybody believing he can ever be that type of quarterback again.
I believe that's the fourth flush during that answer, Ross. I'm sorry. There's nothing funnier. You're having a great take, man. You're like right there. And just, you know, I don't think there's anything worse than the Browns offense.
It's almost like Keith is hitting that sounder. You know how, like, there's some radio stations where they have, like, a noise or a sounder for everything, and they'll be like, oh, man, this Panthers offense is going down the drain with Bryce Young, and then they'll have, like, that noise. I feel like, based on the Browns' performance against the Cowboys, I feel like I'm in the perfect place right now.
It's Crazy Ira and the Douche on 92.3 The Fan. Insider Calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Damn it. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add deliciousness and creamy flavor.
I'm just going to walk out.
To your game day dishes across the football season.
It didn't work. I'm just walking out.
You know what, though? You own that. And I think that's really good. I'm just trying to avoid asking any further questions about Deshaun until you get out of the restroom.
I'm walking out right now.
All right.
So I gave it a shot. We'll see what it's like near the Starbucks. Now I got people near the Starbucks walking by me.
Oh,
now I'm like in the middle of the court. What do they call it? The center core or whatever. Anyway,
how big of a jump could we expect from week one to week two?
Pretty big. I mean, that happens a lot, right? I mean, where you know a team looks terrible week one. I mean, that's why, like on the betting podcast, the Even Money Betting Podcast, a lot of the teams that lost week one, we like them in week two, and vice versa. You know, it's such a cliche, and I know everybody hates it and blah, 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 but usually, especially in the NFL and blowouts, usually the team that won is probably not as good as everybody seems to think they are, and the team that lost is probably not as bad as everybody thought they were from that game. But yeah, I mean, especially when it's a home game, I saw where Myles Garrett went out and was in the parking lot firing people up. I guess you probably won't be doing that again. That didn't work.
You're not wrong. Ross Tucker on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
You're missing the flushing noises, aren't you? You want me to go back in?
No, I feel safe now to ask a question about Deshaun, so whatever your answer is, I won't laugh hysterically in the background, which would be very unprofessional, even for me. Like, that would set a new low, even for me. So, to get to Deshaun, right now, what do you consider to be the bigger issue? On the field or off the field?
On the field. Yeah, I mean, on the field for sure, because that's what matters. I mean, the off-the-field stuff, I don't know. I got to be honest with you. I've, like, lost track and or interest, right? I mean, I see people say, well, if you know, because of this lawsuit, the Browns can get out of his contract or whatever, and then other people say maybe the Browns are, like, leaking this information. It's the season now, man. Like, I'm not into the off-the-field drama, the off-the-field BS. It's the season, and he just looks really bad. I mean, have you had any callers call up and say, I still believe Deshaun Watson is going to be a top-5 quarterback for the Cleveland Browns, which is what you guys traded for and paid for? I just can't imagine anybody doing that. I mean, to me, it feels like at this point, you're like, best-case scenario is if he's a top-15 guy. You know, I mean, he's never going to be a top-5 guy again. If you actually sat down and wrote down the top-10 quarterbacks, that's incredibly unlikely as well. I mean, at this point, you're hoping, the hope is that he's in the top half of the league. And people are sitting there driving around Cleveland right now being like, yeah, right, no, he's definitely going to be top 20. Sit down and write it down. So you'd be amazed what quarterbacks are like 18, 19, 20 when you actually sit down and write down all of them. And right now, he's on the top 20 quarterback. Heck, he's lucky there's all these rookies starting. He might not even be top 25 based on how he played in this last game. So do I think he can get better? Yeah. Do I think he can be top 20? Maybe. Top 15? That would be that'd be like best case scenario at this point. That the Browns gave the biggest contract in NFL history to a guy that could maybe be in the top half of the league for the next 3 years.
Ross, there's been some scuttlebutt amongst former NFL players such as yourself that Deshaun should be on a shorter leash because of the expectations coming into the season. Do you think Deshaun is guaranteed all season no matter how well he plays?
No, I don't think they can do that. I mean, especially after what happened last year. Although I do find it ironic. I mean, think about how sensitive they are or how sensitive Watson is that I have to imagine that the Browns didn't bring back Flacco just because they knew how bad it would be if, you know, Deshaun Watson got off to a bad start. Everybody would say, put in Flacco, put in Flacco, put in Flacco. But I guess I don't really understand about that is, aren't those same people going to say the same thing about Jameis Winston? Put in Jameis, put in Jameis, put in Jameis? If Deshaun Watson continues to struggle, like that's a part of it I don't really get. I probably would have brought back Flacco, but maybe they wanted somebody younger. But I just, based on how last year went and how many players are back from last year's team, and they know it's not them. Like, they know they're good, and they can win if they get competent quarterback play. Stefanski can't do that. And that's why the Stefanski and Andrew Berry contract extensions were so important, because that was sort of giving those guys, in my mind, that gave them the ability to move on from Watson if and when they had to. Obviously, it'll be ugly from a salary cap perspective, but you can't, like, they're not going to go through the whole year if this guy's playing terrible. The question will be how much of a leash should he get, and how long will they stay with him if he's playing that bad?
Ross, can you get Deshaun righted without the offensive line getting right first?
That's a good question. Obviously, they need those guys healthy, and they need those guys to play better, certainly a lot better than they did. I think that would help him. But even sometimes when, like the throw, I mean, maybe his best pass of the day was to CeeDee Lamb on the sideline. Like, what is going on where he's missing throws by that much? I don't know. I'm sure there's prop bets or something on this, but, like, what are the Vegas odds that he gets back to being a top half of the league quarterback? I think they'd be pretty low at this point. I don't think there's very many people that believe he'll get there. I think the better the offensive line is, the better the run is. Will that help him? Yeah, but he still needs to play better no matter what the deal is with the line. I mean, they're paying him. They didn't bring him in or pay him to be a guy that is like a game facilitator around a great running game and a great offensive line. You know, they paid him to be a guy that can overcome deficiencies in those areas. And now he's the deficiency.
Ross Tucker on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So as we continue on having this conversation about the state of the Browns here, obviously, I just remembered here, there is somebody driving around Northeast Ohio. I know because a friend of mine, Chip, sent me a picture of their personalized license plate. Do you live in Ohio? Because there is somebody driving around with a personalized license plate that says "Later, Dude."
No, I don't, but that's amazing.
Is that the Ross Tucker for me bump? Is like, do you think
almost every time when I leave, at least one person will hit me up on Twitter at Ross Tucker NFL and say later dudes. Although it's weird now I just gotta say "Later, Dude," unless I'm allowed to say "Dudes" to you and Keith.
We got three dudes on the show. I think, yeah. I mean,
do you ever let Keith come on the air and talk? Because I like talking with him, and I like his takes more than yours usually.
No, for that exact reason. Yeah, Keith's already got a big enough ego as the assistant brand manager. We don't need to push that ego into the stratosphere.
You would get exposed. He's like Flacco, and you're like Deshaun Watson. I get it. I see it.
Now, why don't you walk back to the bathroom for us real quick? There, give us a quick flush.
Want me to?
No, not at all. Ross, Aaron Rodgers, Monday, no preseason, goes out of Monday Night Football, doesn't look great. Deshaun, doesn't look great. All the quarterbacks, all the starters that didn't play in the preseason, had some modicum of struggles in week one. Do week one struggles, does the vast array of week one struggles of non-participants in preseason, does that... should that change the way the NFL thinks about playing their starters in the preseason going forward, or is that do you think everybody's just comfortable with that being the cost of doing business this way?
You know, it's a good question, and what I don't know is, and I've talked to head coaches about this. You know, they all say the same thing, like, okay, so let's say I play them a series or two in the first preseason game on August 10th. Does that have anything to do with September 8th? You know, like, does that make any difference? Does a series or two on August 10th have anything to do with what happened in September? I think it's a fair question to ask, and I don't know the answer to that. Even if you play him in the last preseason game, quite frankly, it's still 2 weeks before the first game, and I think reasonable minds could still disagree as to what the impact of that is.
Ross, looking to your Thursday Night Football game, I believe this is less a question and the more it's a take. I think we're going to start the Thursday Night Football slate off for the first 2 weeks of the season with really good games. Last week was awesome, Baltimore versus Kansas City. Now we got Miami and Buffalo. I think we might be changing the narrative 2 weeks in on football. You're a big part of that.
Well, they're clearly, you know, giving Amazon in particular better game. I mean, Thursday night games used to be some of the worst games on the slate. I mean, it was just like, they, you know, everybody got a primetime game, and that's when they was. I mean, it was like every Jacksonville-Tennessee game ever was on Thursday night. So they've kind of changed the narrative already. I think they realize how important it is that Amazon is a successful partner so that they get Netflix and Apple and everybody else bidding for packages. That they really need to make it work with Amazon, and the way to do that is to give them better games. And obviously this is a huge one in the AFC. It's really the entire AFC tomorrow night. Really looking for, I mean, both teams already have some major injuries. I mean, Taron Johnson's the best nickel in the league, probably. He's out for the Bills. The Dolphins will not have Mostert. They already don't have Chubb and some other guys. You know, it's already an issue with health and that being a factor in these games. But welcome to the NFL. The good news, I guess, for these guys is they get some time afterwards.
Ross, we got about 30 seconds. Who do you give the edge in the division to, Dolphins or Bills?
I'll go Bills. Yeah, I'll go Bills until the Dolphins prove otherwise. I think Tua's only beaten the Bills one time. And I just think late in games, they're close games. They're pretty good evenly matched teams. But late in games, Josh Allen's legs are just such a difference maker compared to Tua, who really can't do that part of it. So I'll take the Bills until the Dolphins show me otherwise.
The Northeast Ohio Regional Sewer District is wondering whether they're the unofficial sponsor of the Ross Tucker interview right now. Ross, great stuff, buddy. Big game for you this Thursday. Happy to see you continue to thrive and kill it, bud.
Thanks, man. Later, dude.
Ross Tucker there. That was Odyssey NFL Insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day, be delicious. It's funny, every time we get to this point in the season, it's a little bit more extreme this year because there are so many definitive cases of starting quarterbacks and starters who did not play in the preseason and how poorly they played. And the outrage in September, as far as I can remember, has never changed. It is, man, there's a lot of bad football in September. And so week one part of this, because here's the thing, it's not going to stop. It's not like suddenly there's going to be great football played. There are going to be good games. But in terms of sloppy football and penalties, and honestly, referees are even sloppy early in the season, as we saw in that Kansas City-Baltimore game where they kept hammering, was it Ronnie Stanley, like the same time after time after time for the same penalty, no matter how much Ronnie Stanley moved up on the line of scrimmage. So I think we take this thing that I think is just a fact of life in the NFL, and because it's clearly a problem, we try to prescribe a remedy. And honestly, the problem is not guys aren't playing in the preseason. Football looks sloppy in September because contact has been taken out of practices. That's why this is. If you had practices like they did in 1999 or 1989 or 1979, the sloppiness angle of football would, I don't think it would be half of what it is right now. So, but we then, because that's not acceptable, right? No one's going to say, hey, should we tackle more? Should we add more physicality in the preseason and in camp? Because nobody wants to be the villain to suggest that that's the problem. We then look for other solutions. And if a team says to themselves, we need week one so badly that we're willing to risk injury from a veteran quarterback, a franchise quarterback, a quarterback coming off an injury, quite frankly, they're not going to be employed very long. I understood why a lot of Browns fans wanted Deshaun to play. And I think it was, and a lot of Browns media wanted Deshaun to play in the preseason. I do. I tend to think that a lot of Browns media had reached a point where they just wanted to see Deshaun out there because I think there's this feeling we get when guys don't play in the preseason that it's something that they've earned, right? You have to earn that. And the reality is, not really. No, you have to protect any asset, no matter whether you think Deshaun's been any good the last 2.5 years. I think some of that was the pound of flesh mentality that we absolutely have when somebody fails to continuously meet the standards that we've set, either together or individually. There's no good reason. 1 week, as bad as week one was for a lot of these players, including Aaron Rodgers coming off an injury, including Deshaun Watson coming off an injury, and to less than top five quarterback seasons the last 2 years. As bad as it was, I think every smart NFL team is going to live with it. And you can point to me, oh, well, Team X played their quarterback in the preseason. It doesn't make it any less dumb. It doesn't de-escalate the risk. It doesn't remove the risk of the thing. I think the most logical thing you can do is accept September means sloppy football, and week one there's going to be a cry because you didn't play your guys in the preseason. And whether it is skill level, whether it is health level, whether it is really anything, I fail to believe, I just logically cannot believe that two quarters or two series or 17 plays is the difference between Deshaun Watson looking the way he did in week one or Aaron Rodgers looking the way he did week one. And let's say the way that Deshaun looked against Arizona, the probably his best game of the season last year against inferior competition, which I have to add now because that's the only way we describe any game Deshaun's played in is to completely discredit it in every way. But no, this idea that that's why, yes, it probably is why these quarterbacks, or rather, not playing significantly enough, probably aids to a slow start, especially coming off an injury. Live with it. You have to, I'm not saying fans, I'm saying organizations, you have to live with it. Yes, it might mean more bad football or a bad half of football in the case of Aaron Rodgers, or that was a bad game, or in the case of some of the quarterbacks who are out there on Sunday or this week. That's better than the alternative. You'd rather one game be at jeopardy than 10 games. I don't think any amount of bad football on Sunday, Thursday, or Monday was going to change that. I just think the overreaction and the outrage is the only thing in this scenario that hasn't changed. And it's the thing that leads us to the lesser intelligent routes on this. 216-474-0092. Do the fact that so many non-participants of the preseason struggled week one, does that change your opinion about players starting in the preseason going forward? I am now owed my burgers, teasers, and milkshake. And we welcome in Daryl Ryder here. Daryl, welcome to the show, my friend.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It's so great to have you today.
I'm sure it is.
It's such an honor to talk with you specifically today. Other days, still
not
some,
so much,
but not as much as this today, where we can come together and I can hear the magical words, the words everybody loves to hear. Nick was right. Nick was right. Now you.
Oh, no, Nick was right, but I thought we don't do the chanting thing on your show. I thought that was another show.
No, not for this one time. And on this, listen, I am not, I try very hard not to steal anybody else's bits, all right? I have the best bits, my bits get stolen.
It's not stealing, it's borrowing.
I'm borrowing it just this once so I can hear you say the phrase, Nick was right, and that this bet has officially turned sour for you. When did you know, like officially, that you were going to owe me? Like, what was the point in the season where you said, it doesn't matter whether it's August 20th or September 11th or September 12th, I'm going to pay that fat man a burger?
June 15th.
Why June 15th? That was very specific.
I just mid-June, yeah, yep. had a pretty good idea. So I've got the funds set aside. Now, I guess,
plus 15 bucks, dude.
The only thing we have to do is arrange for payment, because I am a man of my word. I do not welch on my bets, the few that I make, and often lose, which is why I don't bet often. We do need to arrange for me to pay up,
Yeah.
So you let me know what works with your schedule. You said you would like me present to enjoy you shoving burgers, teasers, and milkshake in your face. So, again, I'm a man of my word, so you just let me know where and when, and I will pay up accordingly.
I mean, next Tuesday looks really, really good for me. How does it look for you?
Okay. You know what? We could go live because I do talk with Jonathan Peterlin on Tuesdays.
Mm-hmm.
So we could go live from the bet on overtime with Jonathan Peterlin. So yeah, that works for me.
Now, is it going to be a problem that I'll be playing Careless Whisper in the background as I slowly and seductively eat this cheeseburger?
Yeah, you have to talk to the legal team about that.
No. I mean, you have to. I'm here to consume burger, listen to George Michael, and enjoy the winnings, as it were, the spoils of my victories. That's
what if I break out the seether version of Careless Whisper?
You're gonna have to buy me a second burger to keep me from kicking your ass. That's what's gonna happen there. Like, come on,
listen. I only budgeted for one burger, one teaser, and one milkshake for you, and that's why we put limits on this.
What if I break out the Sha-na-na version of Careless Whisperer? Like, can we find a crappier band? Sorry, Seether fans, or Sha-na-na fans.
I was going to say, back in the day, I was kind of into Seether, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, there was a time and place, and it was high school or college for most of us. Man, I am not intentionally, I'm Seether fans, I'm sorry. You're catching strays here because I'm trying to gloat too much with Daryl here.
Find Nick on X, at Nick Wilson Says.
That's
Send
fair.
Send your complaints there.
BT Dubs, while we're on this, because I will do just about anything to avoid talking about Deshaun Watson right now.
Same.
Is Elon Musk looking at your private browsing history? How did your depth chart get hit up for being involving nudity?
I have no idea.
Is it profiling? Did they just...
I don't know. I was a little surprised when I woke up and got that email notification. Then I went to my account, and I don't know what it looks like from the outside. You know, I don't know like what their warning system looks like on a particular... But like, there's plenty of other stuff that I've posted on X that maybe they could flag, but not a depth chart for crying out loud. I don't know. I mean, there's plenty of porn bots on X. There's plenty of racism on X. There's plenty of just downright ugliness on X. And who knew the Browns depth chart, a photo of it, a screenshot of it, would catch the ire of the X police, the Elon Musk police, on that social media platform. So it is what it is. But I'm not going to lie. I was really amused with a lot of the responses, half of which I cannot read on the air, but there were some really, really good responses to me putting that up there. And because I wanted, because I assumed that there was some warning put on like my account or at least on that particular post. So that's why I went ahead and I put that out there so that folks knew that, you know, I was aware of it and making fun of it because it is just a wee bit ridiculous.
Well, I have to tell you, it has gotten bleak when the Browns depth chart is being viewed as smut.
Yes, like, yeah. Yes. And as some did point out in their responses, that performance on Sunday against the Cowboys was rather offensive and should be flagged. So
we're going to soft launch into the Browns part of this. We're not just going to go right into the Deshaun stuff. I could use a Browns palate cleanser before I get back to it in 30 minutes here.
Okay.
Has this Jacksonville game... I don't want to say must win because I know that's like that's kind of like an evergreen thing we can throw around. But has this Jacksonville game suddenly become crucially important to the Browns this year, both in the practicality of not starting 0-2 and just this team needs a win in the worst way?
Well, I'm not going to say it's must win, but they must go to Jacksonville and play much better than they did on Sunday. If you go down there and you lose a heartbreaker in the closing seconds – But you played well on offense, right? I think it'll be palatable to folks. But if it's a carbon copy of what we saw against Dallas, where Deshaun Watson looks completely lost in the backfield, I mean, those plays that he used to love when teams brought the pressure on him, because he would just break free and make them pay either with his feet or with his arm. Those plays just aren't there for him anymore. For, I think, obvious reasons. He hasn't played a lot of football in recent years. So I think they just need to go to Jacksonville and just play well on both sides of the ball. And the end result is what the end result is. But knock off the pre-snap penalties. Stop getting behind the chains. Trim down the three-and-out series. Put some points on the scoreboard. I know they gave up 33 points, but I honestly think the defense was okay. I don't feel like the defense was a problem. The problem was the offense against Dallas, Nick.
Daryl Rutter joining us in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Daryl, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. On the field or off the field, what are you more concerned with right now about where Deshaun is after a pretty much Sunday and Monday of this week?
Well, I would say on the field, just from this standpoint, I certainly don't want to minimize the allegations that have been made. And obviously, there is a process now that's going to take place both in civil court and with the NFL investigation into these allegations and the potential that Watson could at some point face greater discipline. The reason I say on the field, Nick, is for a couple of reasons. One, I don't think that this situation with the investigation and obviously the adjudication of the civil suit, that I don't think is going to take place before the end of the season. Looking at the last timeline of the NFL investigation, it was 4 or 5 months. And then it was another month and a half for the ultimate final ruling and discipline. Then there was the appeal, and that was another month and a half to 2 months. And then they came to the disciplinary settlement. So I don't foresee that this is going to be resolved or impact this specific season as far as Deshaun potentially facing discipline from the league. And again, obviously it's going to take some time for this to work its way through a resolution in civil court as well. So I am concerned on the field, mostly because he just hasn't played very well. In the time that we have seen him in those 13 games. We've seen glimpses, to be fair. Yes, we have seen glimpses of the Houston Texans, Deshaun Watson, but that was not good Sunday. And I gave him the grace of everything he was dealing with in his life, with his father passing away on Friday before the game. The next day, a friend and a former teammate, we talked about it on Monday, I know, you know, had passed away, and you know, that was probably weighing on his mind. So, like, that's why I wasn't ready to just, you know, absolutely jump all over him for that performance on Sunday. But, like, I am concerned that all of this stuff that's going on off the field is going to have an impact. That's why I asked him today about it. He kind of brushed that off and said he's, you know, zeroed in and focused in on football. And that may be all well and good, but I just know what Dallas did to him from a pressure standpoint. They hit him 17 times, sacked him 6, and now he's going up against yet another talented and stout front that the Jacksonville Jaguars present, and they like to get after the quarterback and pressure as well. And I'm really concerned how he's going to react to that and whether or not the results are going to be similar.
Daryl, Deshaun did speak today, which I give a single kudo to, because they could have pushed it till Friday. He could have, you know, there are ways you can do this to minimize the eyes on you, especially 2 days after this. So I give a kudo on that. But at the same point, there were multiple moments where kind of went viral with things that he said, how he responded. Yeah. What do you think the important takeaways from that press conference were?
Well, I think the most important takeaway is that this is independent of the previous allegations and disciplinary ruling and settlements and everything that happened back in 2022. The NFL clearly views this as a separate thing because they're now doing a separate investigation. Kevin Stefanski mentioned today that he was unaware of the allegations. Now, this is the caveat reminder that, you know, press conference sound bites are not sworn testimony here. He's not under oath. So for all we, I'm not saying he did. I'm just saying that, like, let's not just take that statement as like gospel, but that is what he did say on the record today. Deshaun said that he found out the way everyone else did when it, you know, when we all found out about it. Then, of course, the lawyer for the plaintiff, Tony Busby, put that statement out on Instagram saying, don't think so. For 10 months, we've been trying to hammer out a settlement regarding this case, and this is something that's been going on since this alleged incident occurred back in 2020 that Watson had been aware of, et cetera, et cetera. So that's my top takeaway, that he is, I don't want to say clearly, but it appears he is in jeopardy of further discipline from the National Football League above and beyond, you know, the civil court aspect.
Daryl, great stuff. I look forward to next Tuesday. I just am ready, and I'm glad that we can get this out of the way. It won't impact
will
our
you
friendship.
Eat, will you eat between now and Tuesday? Are you like gonna? Are you?
I'm gonna cleanse.
Are you gonna cleanse for this, or are you going to just go and chow down between now and Tuesday to prepare yourself for this?
So I will take it light until Tuesday.
Okay.
So that my body, which is a temple, is very well prepared for what I can only expect will be quite a religious experience. Daryl, be good, buddy.
I give you a kudo for saying your body is a temple with a straight face. Talk to you later.
People have been saying it. Daryl Ryder there, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store.